just my love. Our God forever. Now, in dealing with the 119th Psalm, I want to spend a little more time with you because this is an extraordinary psalm. I call this psalm in here the Song of the Lamb. I don't know anybody else that does, but I do, because everything in it, I believe every verse is as an utterance of the Lord Jesus. Every verse. The very fact that it is the longest verse, the greatest verse, the most complete acrostic alphabetic verse, when Jesus himself is the Word, the Hebrew alphabetic, Jesus is that Word, the Word of God. His name is called the Word of God. The Word within the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He is that Word. And man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In these these some, there are 22 stanzas representing, each one of them representing one successively in order, the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And as Jesus said in one place, not one jot or one tittle, not the dotting of an I, the crossing of a T, the least of the letter, not one letter. Not one letter. Even though men make mistakes and change it, and even though make it something else, what God intended will come to pass. Not one jot, one tittle shall pass from the law until all be fulfilled, regardless of who changes it. It'll come to pass God's way. Not only that, every one of these, that is, there are 22, but represent the whole Word of God, the whole Word of God. Man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word. And Jesus is that Word. He has on his thigh and on his vesture a name written, the Word of God. Word of God, and Lord of Lords and King of Kings. But the Word of God, his name is called the Word of God. Jesus is called the Word of God because he's the living Word. He's the expression of God's will manifested to the world. The word Yahweh also appears 22 times in this 119th Psalm. 22 times. That's one for every stanza, one for every letter of the alphabet of the Word. He is declared to be Yahweh. He speaks of Yahweh. Now, these things just don't happen to be. Furthermore, every verse of the 176 verses speaks of his Word. Speaks of the Word. Jesus is the very central theme of the whole Bible. Jesus as Lord, the Redeemer, the Savior, the King of Israel, the Holy One of Israel, beside whom there is none else. Every verse, there are two verses that seemingly wonder why it is different, but the inference is there even in those. In the 122nd verse and the 132nd verse, only those two would you have a question even as to whether the God's word, his precepts, his law, his commandments, his way, his righteous judgments are in all these things. His word is manifest in every one. Now in these two, if you take that 122nd one, be surety for thy servant for good. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Now if you'll take Hebrews 7:22 with that verse and 19:7, just a moment now. Let me check myself here. Hebrews 7:22, 19:7. Let me look now and be sure that I'm not speaking of Psalms. Hebrews 19:7. Let's see what that says. That's undoubtedly I'm speaking of the Psalms. I know the other one would have to be. Now, these I should have done was put the Psalm first, but I put Hebrews first and that fouled me up. Now, the rest of them are Psalms. Hebrews 7:22 and then Psalms 19:7. Let's look at Hebrews 7:22 while we're doing it. 7:22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better covenant, better testament. You see, so he is our surety. He is the Word. So our surety is in Christ Jesus. And that word surety there. Now in Psalm 19:7, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. The testimony of the Lord is sure. There's your surety again. See? So that there's the testimony and the law and the surety. All is there. So that's 122nd. Also 111, in 111:7. says, the works of his hands are verity, that's truth, and judgment, that's truth. All his commandments are sure. There's truth, which is his word. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. So we have here in that one truth, verity, and judgment, and commandments, and they are all, his commandments are sure. There's a surety again. Then in Isaiah 22:23 and 25. Now, I had many things like this in my other book, but I lost these. I've had to just pick up all fresh again and look them up again. 22:23 and 25, I believe I said. And that says, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. So he shall open and none shall shut. He shall shut and none shall open. Wait a minute. Do I have what I gave you? Part. Next verse. I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place. He shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. In the 24th, they shall hang upon him, the nail, all the glory of his father's house, the offspring and the issue, his children, his seed after him, all vessels of small quantity, from the vessels of cup, even to all the vessels of plague. That even includes me, being you. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall the nail that is fastened in the sure place be removed, be cut down, and fall. You see, that speaks of his crucifixion as being cut off from the land of the living. And the burden that was upon it shall be cut off, for the Lord hath spoken. Now let's see what else I have here. Also, Isaiah 55:3. Isaiah 55:3. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. The sure mercies of David. The promise and the covenant that God made with David concerning his son and his king and his kingdom and his throne forever. There's the sure mercies. So you actually don't lack anything in that 122nd Psalm. It has an abundance of proof. Likewise also with the 132nd. Let's see what we do have there. And then 32nd, look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, the sure mercies of David, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Thy name. Now, the name, the word, the truth are all in Christ. You see, that the word, his name is called the word of God. So in his name you'll also have the word, because he is the word. He is God's truth. I am the truth. His name is called the word. The word was God. The word and God is the good. So you see, you lack nothing in that 132nd one. And every other one, there's no question about it. So every one in here. Now, what I was saying was that there is not a man living on the face of the earth, or a man that ever did live on the face of the earth, except the Lord Jesus, the man Christ Jesus, the Son of God. Only he could say everything that's in this book. And he could say everything. Everything. It's as his utterance. He was perfect. He was right to the point. Nobody else could say, I have kept all thy precepts. I have not gone back on any of them. If any other man could say that, then God could not say they've all sinned and come short of the glory. See, there's only one person that could say those things. And he says those in him. Then, on the other hand, you'd say, well, how about those? And now he talks about his sin. He talks about his being tried and his going away backward, or his failure. Well, didn't Jesus take upon us the sins of upon himself the sin of the world? Himself bear our sins in his own body. He prayed for you. He prayed for me. Not only for these whom you've given me, but for all those who should believe on them through me, through thy word. See? All the way through. And Jesus was a mediator between man and God. He threw himself between man and God, even as Moses threw himself between Israel and God. I made an atonement, Moses said. I ran in to you. I made an atonement for you. I pleaded with God for you. That's what Jesus has done. See, and his blood has been acceptable before God as a righteous atonement that we might be made one with God again. So that in there where he speaks of sin, he's confessing your sin. He's confessing my sin. He took all those upon himself. He did what, like Ezra did, like Nehemiah did, like Daniel did. You see, he was a mouthpiece for the nation. They wouldn't repent, but he repented for them. They wouldn't acknowledge their sin, but he acknowledged it for them. They would not plead with God, but he pled with God for them. You see? And that's what Jesus is. He's a mediator between God and man. He's our great high priest. And he himself suffered all these like conditions also in the body as a man, yet without sin. But he suffered many of these things. He even learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And with tears and strong crying, he cried out and was heard in that he feared. You see, all those scriptures. Now, they're all in here in the 119th Psalm. Only he could say them, and he could say every one of them and have it apply to him. He doesn't go off on any tangents. He doesn't talk about this or that or something else. Everything in here is applicable right straight forward, turning neither to the right nor to the left, but just pleasing God in everything. I know that thou hearest me always, Father, because I do always those things that are pleasing in thy sight. And yet, as a man, he had to be tempted. He was tried. See? Being tempted. That the captain of their salvation might be made perfect. Taking no advantage of you and me because he was the Son of God, we also are sons of God. Taking no advantage because he had all knowledge. No, he didn't have all knowledge. No man knows the time, neither the Son, neither the angels, but my Father only. See? He didn't know all things. He didn't know all things at all times. He had to learn these out of the book like you and I do. He had to learn them by prayer and much prayer and intercession before God. Like just committing himself to God and receiving of God and letting the Spirit of God in him direct all his steps. That's the way he learned these things. Else he couldn't be tempted like you are in all things. He must have been sick sometime. He must have been troubled sometime. He had to be rebuked by his parents sometime and went down and was subject unto that in order that he might in everything prove God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. If he could do it, tempted in all points like as we are, being a man, you can do it. I can do it. Don't look at him as somebody that's clear out different than us. He became a brother. He was one of the congregation. He sang praises to God. He also gave thanks to God. He also preached God's word, was faithful in preaching it, every word of it. He was faithful in everything. And look at him then as one with you. And he did this to give you an example that as I have done, so you should do. So we are being made in the same image, from glory to glory, being changed into the same image when we pattern after him. He, the great example, is a pattern for me. Where he leads, I'll follow. See? Now we know that. We sing that in the church on that. Well, isn't it so then? See? Great example, great pattern. Well, but he was God. Oh, no. He was a man. He was a man. He's a seed of Adam. He's a seed of David. Seed of Abraham. Man in flesh. Died. Same as any other man could die. Gave his life. God can't die. God is life. See? But it was the Son of God that died in our stead. But it was God's great mercy and grace and love to provide this lamb. Father, Isaac said to Abraham, here's the wood, here's the fire, but where's the sacrifice? Where's the lamb? Where's the sacrifice? My son, God will provide himself a sacrifice. And so God did. A body hast thou prepared me. And then he gave. And set him forth as a son, an only begotten son, righteous. The only one that was righteous. And he gave him for ungodly you and me. What love. What love. So we sing it. What love. See? We have some wonderful inspired hymns that preach wonderful truth. Wonderful truth. Few of them get offside, but a lot of them really get down to the meat of the thing. And if we'd pay attention to the songs that we're singing in the churches, they stayed right close to God when they did. Stayed close to it. So I want to go through with these here. And you look at this now as the song of the Lamb. The song of the Lamb. And notice, every one of them is a treasure. Every one of them is precious, right to the point. There's nothing lacking in it. Now, I was down to about the 10th verse. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, lots of people do seek him with their whole heart, to the best of their ability. He sought him with his whole heart. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Now, you see, he's interceding for you. He's praying for you. He's taken all of our conditions upon himself. So, if this seems to be more like yours, mine, it is, because he did it for you. He prayed these things for you. Jesus was possible. Jesus said every word of this while he was praying out there in the mountain. That's the reason he had to get up early in the morning before day and go out in the mountains and pray. He had a lot of work to do to take all of this and do that. And he actually did this. He actually felt this. It's written of him that he felt this. Now, this is not just presumptuous. He actually did. It told you back here in the Psalm how he felt, how he suffered, and what they were doing, and how what he thought. Those are his thoughts. And Jesus actually had those thoughts. He actually learned these things. He actually suffered these things. He actually went through these trials, tempted in all parts like as we are, but then himself put himself between us and God, and himself took our sins and made intercession for us, confessed our own sin for us, and repented and sought the Lord with his whole heart that he might have the power to give unto you his righteousness when you believe on him, because he did it for you out of his great grace and love. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. You see, there's the commandments. There's the word. Thy word, there's the other one, have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. But it tells you a great truth that if you do hide his word in his heart, you will not sin against him. See, it tells you that. It tells you. That's the way not to sin, is to hide his word in your heart. Hide his word in your heart and you won't sin. That I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. Teach me. You have to be taught. You can read them, but that's different. Teach you. What does it mean? What does it really require of me? With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. Judgments. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimony. Testimony is the word there. As much as all riches, and not as much, but as one would in all riches. I have rejoiced in the way of thy, more, I would say, rejoice in the way of thy testimony as in all riches, because there is no riches like the blessings of the Lord and the inheritance in him. I will meditate, I'll think, I'll take time to meditate and think in thy precepts. And have respect unto thy ways. Thy ways, not my ways. Thy ways. Not my will, thy will. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I'll be glad I'm delight to do thy will, O God. You remember up there in Hebrews? Hebrews? When the Son of God cometh into the world, he said, I delight to do thy will, O God. I delight to do thy will, O God. See? I will delight myself in thy statutes. You see, it's the same thing as you find by over there in Hebrews, when the Son of God cometh into the world. I will not forget thy word. Jesus did it. Tells you up there in Hebrews, he did it. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Now Jesus prayed that he might live, and he did live. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And they were revealed to him. He saw them. All these things, he said, whatever my Father has showed me, those things which I have seen of my Father, wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Was he a stranger? Well, Psalm 69:8 said he was a stranger even to his own brethren. Became a stranger even to his own brethren. His own brethren did not even believe on him. And he was a stranger even in his own family. Not for Mary, she knew who he was. But his brethren. I'm a stranger. You see, that's speaking of him. Specifically, personally. Hide not thy commandments from me. And he didn't. My soul breaketh. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Oh, I'm just broken in spirit. My soul is stirred. Broken. I have such a longing for thy judgments. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. So he knows then he cannot be proud, because God rebukes the proud. God hates the proud. It's one of the things that God hates, is pride. One of the things he hates is pride. Thou hast rebuked the proud. I can't tell you the exact scripture, but it might be Isaiah 17:13, Proverbs 6:17. I don't know what those say. I haven't had time to look. Reprove, remove from me reproach and contempt. Don't be in contempt in anything of God, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me. Well, there are lots of places you can find that. Psalm 2:2, where kings, rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. And that means not his anointed one, but also all of his anointed, because they all suffer with Christ. Mark 15:4 also tells you that they did. There's other places it tells you we'll find out also. The rulers, Herod and Pilate and the rulers of the Jews, the council, the scribes, the Pharisees. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. And Jesus said that they'll do the same thing. They'll bring you before kings and rulers for my sake. But don't take any thought what you should say. I'll give you words to speak at that in that hour. So you see, we're partakers with him in this, and he partook of all these things with us also. Now he said, if they hate me, they'll hate you. If they persecute me, they'll persecute you. 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2:8. Thank you. In fact, many of you ought to have many of these good ones. Thy testimonies are also my delight and my counselors. They teach me. They counsel me. They're my lawyers. They tell me what to do. Thy testimonies are my delight. I delight to do thy will. And my counselors, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Cast down, he had his problems. He had his troubles. So do you. So do I. And he is bearing them with us and for us. And then gave himself for us that we might have the same power and help. Quicken thou me. That is, make me alive. Quicken me. Raise me up. Lift me up. See, according to thy word. quickened. Not only now here, but in death. Quicken me. If that spirit dwells in you that dwelt in the Lord Jesus, that same spirit will quicken your mortal body. It'll cause you to rise from the dead when Jesus comes again to take away out his people. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared, now you see, not quicken thou me according to my desires, but according to your word. According to your word. I have declared, because it's not my will, but thy will, but quicken me. I have declared. So over in Hebrews, we also find out that he does tell them that he, with tears and strong crying, Hebrews 5:7, I think, with tears and strong crying, and was heard. Save me, be my salvation, quicken me, bring me up from death. See? And he was heard in that he feared the Lord. All right? I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. You see, there's the word always. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melted for heaviness. Psalm 22:14. Psalm 22:14. Remember in there? He said, my heart melteth within me. Where is it here? I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. And then in Matthew 26:37, Jesus became very sorrowful and very heavy. My soul is sorrowful even unto death. He became very heavy. You see, my soul melteth for heaviness. See, exact. prophecy of his condition. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. And he was strengthened. Remove from me the way of lying. Grant me thy law graciously by thy grace. See, grant me thy law graciously. In other words, he became a curse for us. He set us free from the law of sin and death by taking our transgressions, and it became then imparting his righteousness unto us. We are as though we had never broken the law. We're clean through his word. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. Did you used to have a good testimony? Stick to them. Some people have said to me, good people, well, you're just stubborn. I said, my mind is made up. My heart is fixed. I have stuck to his testimonies. That's all right. Jesus stuck to them too. Stubborn? Okay, if it's in the right direction. You just stick right with it. I have stuck to thy testimony. O Lord, put me not to shame. When I get sick and troubled, I say, O God, I've testified of your goodness. Help me to stick to your testimonies. Let me not be put to shame, and let not your name be put to shame. For your great name's sake, heal me, help me, bring me out of my difficulties. Because your great name is also at stake in all your people. What you do for your people is the thing that's going to cause your name to be glorified in all the earth. Heal me, therefore. Help me to stick to your testimonies. And it'll help you through when you get your heart fixed. Oh, you're just stubborn. Well, they're stubborn in the other direction. I'd rather be stubborn toward God. If I have to be stubborn at all, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. I found that his ways are best. I found out they work better for me. I find out they give me more joy and peace when I do stick to them. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart, when you will cause my heart to really be given over wholly to thee, so that I love you with all my heart, seek you with all my heart, am willing with all my heart. Then I find out that your ways are wonderful. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Oh, I'm so glad God has given us an understanding. We couldn't keep his law otherwise. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments. God said of Judah and Israel that they cast off, I will turn them. I will make them to turn. I'll cause them to turn. Make them do it. Make them do it. Because I've promised that I would do it, and therefore, whatever they do, I'm still going to do it. I will put such things on them, and I'll make them do it. I'll make them glad to do it, too, sometimes. They'll be glad to do it. In their affliction, they'll seek me early. About 6 million of them slaughtered over here in Germany and Poland just recently caused many of them to think and begin to turn toward the Lord and begin to look. And it's done things for them. They began to realize that maybe they belong back over there, not up here. Woe unto them that dwell in Meshach. They begin to realize it. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Delight. No, don't do it just because you have to. Delight. I delight to do thy will, O God. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies. Make me so that I will love the testimony. Want to do your will. Then you're not under the law. See? Then you're free. Now all things are lawful to you. All things are lawful to you. Why? Because your heart is in his heart. Your mind is his mind. You have the mind of Christ. There's no law against any of those things. There isn't any such law against any righteousness. All things are lawful for me. But even in some of those, I will even deny myself that I might keep somebody else from stumbling. Just because I have the liberty in many things does not mean that I can always use those things under all circumstances. I must regard one another. Look not after my own things, but after that of another. What will be the best for them? That's the way to look at the thing, not just for yourself. Incline mine heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Quicken me in thy way. In thy way, quicken me. Make me alive to the things of God. Your way, Lord. Establish thy word. Establish thy word. 2 Peter 2. Somewhere right in close there, he tells you that God himself will establish you and settle you and strengthen you. God himself will, after that you've suffered a while, God himself will establish, strengthen, settle you. Pardon? 1 Peter 5, about 10, 11 somewhere, I don't know, right there close. Can't remember now. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgment. Wait a minute, let me look. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Leads me to fear thee. See, I long, Hebrews 5, 7, in that he feared. Turn away my reproach, which I fear. Jesus says, fear not. Fear not. For thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Do you? As a heart panteth after the water brooks, does your heart pant after God? Just my tongue hanging out. I just about to die. Such a thirst after righteousness. But he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled with water that satisfies, so that you'll not thirst any longer. The water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Gospel of John. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Romans 3, 25, 26. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. You see, the mercies and the blessings of God. Thy salvation. Thy salvation. Thy salvation. Isaiah 49, 8. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me. See? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, so that you might have an answer to those who would speak against you. So shall I herewith have answered, for I trust in thy word. I trust in thy word. You said that we could have it. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hope in thy judgment. Even though I slip, even though I grow weak, even though I falter, even though I backslide a bit, he said, I am married to the backslider. Therefore, turn ye and live, saith the Lord, for I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. You see? So, take not the word truth utterly out of my mouth. And another place it says in the psalm, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. See, it's possible. It's possible that it can. As he did from old Saul, you see. He got to the place where God wouldn't hear him. He couldn't get in touch with God at all. He was anointed of God. He prophesied in the Spirit. He just, he had a new heart. He was a new man. But time came when that spirit was taken from, an evil spirit took its place. Saul lost that. God lost his life. Romans 10:8. Thank you. You see, you're studying all of these, and there's so many of you, and I'm only one. But you ought to have a lot of it. So shall I keep thy law continually, forever and ever. Continually. Continually. Pray always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. See, all of that is what he's talking about. I will walk at liberty. Liberty. No longer under the law. Law is made for the law. We're not any longer law when you keep it to your whole heart, keep His commandments. There is no law against these. Against such there is no law. Against the works of the Spirit there is no law. Free. That's the royal law of liberty that James 2:12 tells you about. Royal law of liberty. You look into the perfect law of liberty. Oh, thank God, so that you don't have any problems anymore. You're not under the law. You're not even subject to the law. You're outside of the law. You're above the law. You're like Daniel when he sat in the gate of the king. The king's edict didn't even reach him. And one of these days, we'll be taken clear out away from all these things about whether we're ready to come to that too. But even now, no law. All things are lawful for me. But I'll not be brought under the power of any of those things that could cause me to cause a brother to stumble. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings. And many of them. Jesus said, you must prophesy. He said to John the Revelator, thou must prophesy again before kings and rulers. Okay. And so does he to his apostles and his disciples. And to all of those who take their mantle upon them when they pass on. Other testimony. They will likewise do the same thing. I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. That's the only way you can be at liberty. It's the only way you can be free. And he whom the Son makes free is free indeed. I wish I had those scriptures too, but I can't give them to you. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, will not be ashamed. He that believeth on him shall not be ashamed. That rock, that stone, that pride cornerstone, he that believeth on him shall not be confounded, confused, and neither shall he be ashamed. And my people shall never be ashamed, because my people shall know my name, and my people shall never be ashamed. You don't need to be ashamed of what we teach and preach, because it's God's word. It's his precepts. It's his commandments. It's his judgment and mercy and love and revelation of truth all the way through. It's his truth. I will speak of thy testimonies before all kings and will not be ashamed. I will delight myself like the three Hebrew children. We're not careful, O king, to answer you. We're not careful. See? Paul, I consider myself happy, O King Agrippa, to answer here before you. Glad to. And when he got through, O King Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. See, that's what comes of your faithful testimony when you're not ashamed. I will delight myself in thy commandments which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments which I have loved. But in the churches they're downbeating God's commandments. They're downbeating the Old Testament. They're downbeating the degrading the prophets and all that they spoke back there. That's first for the Jews. Even downgrading the Jews when they say that. But it wasn't just for the Jews. It was for you and for me in particular. But for the church in particular, in a much greater measure. And his laws are perfect, converting the soul. If man would do them, he'd live in them. But no man does them, so Jesus had to give himself. He had to do them. Jesus did them for you. He had to do them. He did do them. He kept them. He loved them. He sought them. He found them. And then gave himself for you and for me because we didn't. Making intercession for us. But now, because we see what he's done for us, our hearts are changed. Our heart goes out to him and we repent and believe and call upon him and accept his mercy. And therefore we are put into Christ. When we're baptized into Christ, we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been made new creatures. And his righteousness is imparted to us. And our past sins are forgiven. And even now, when we stumble, he lifts us up. He holds our hand. He keeps us from falling. If we walk according to his word and seek his face and keep our hands in his also, we'll not withdraw. Perfect. My hands also will I lift up unto that commandment which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Think of it. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort, because they bring us right to Christ. They bring us right to Christ. He is the comfort. He is the comfort. In my affliction, this is my comfort in my affliction. His word. Oh, how precious God's word is to you when you're really sick, when you're about to die. To know his word. To just know his word. My wife, seeing me getting worse and worse and worse, and getting to the place where I couldn't even recognize her, she just opened the scriptures. She just leaves some of them open there. And we have some of them even on the walls. We have some plates on the wall that even have some of his word on them. And she just, in her dashing about to try to get these things done, taking care of the other children, and then of me, her hope was in the word. Lord, your word says so. Your word says so. Your word says so. She wouldn't even let other people know my condition, because they know that they'd taken me away from her and make me go to the hospital. She says, God, you're our Lord. You're our healer. You're our helper. And she exhausted herself, but she just would take the word. She'd get to the place where she didn't know what to do. She just grabbed the word and opened it. And there would be. And almost any place she opened it in the Psalms there, she'd find one that fit her. I've kept your testimony. See, God gave her the strength to go through. returned me onto her just like that, and all of a sudden, just like that, I was healed. And then on, everything wonderful. Now that was difficult. That was not easy to go through, either for her or for me. But it's been a wonderful experience that I just wouldn't sell. I just wouldn't. I wouldn't want to go through it again. She wouldn't want to go through it again. But I wouldn't take $1 million for it. The knowledge, the understanding, and the, what God did for us in that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know He's real. I know He's real. Hallelujah. It's real. It's real. All I know, it's real. Glory to God. How many know it's real? How many believe it's real? How many heart is fixed that God's word is real? That's wonderful. You know, that's wonderful to get a group of people that in a short time you can come to know that it's real and just set your heart on it and know it's real. Jesus is about to come for those that know it's real. He's about to come for those that know it's real. For the overcomer, He's got a marvelous inheritance. He shall inherit all things. I'll be His God. He shall be my son. Praise the Lord. Keep on keeping on. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me in great derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. It says in here in one place that David comforted himself in the Lord. You can do the same thing as we have also done. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. It's astounding. It's horrifying to see how the wicked rebel against God. It becomes taken hold of me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage in the short time that we're here on the earth. I have with pilgrims and strangers on the earth, and this world is not our home. We have another place. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. And unless you set your heart to keep his precepts, you'll never have those wonderful, precious privileges and blessings. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. He will. I thought on my ways. It's a good thing to have introspection. Look at yourself for once in a while. Give yourself a good inspection. I thought on my ways and turned my feet. See, if your feet are turned off, sighted, and you haven't been walking with straight feet, well, turn your feet unto thy testimony. The cherubim, the living creatures, they have straight feet. They walk straight forward. Therefore, they're always in the presence of the Lord. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. God's going to take vengeance. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. You'll find times that you will. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. You see, Jesus himself became a companion of everyone that has these problems. He also suffered being tempted. He is therefore able to succor or strengthen, uphold those that are tempted. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant. Recognize it and give him thanks. O Lord, according to thy word, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Now, you see, he could have, as a man, have gone astray, but those little things that he suffered taught him obedience. But then, apart from that, he took your sin and my sin and your obedience and my obedience and confessed them before the Lord also. So that in both cases, if it is not his, it's at least ours. All right, well, let's quit then. These are wonderful. And this 99th Psalm, every word of it's wonderful. And it's the exact thing that will keep you if you can say these things in your own heart. Come to them.